Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What are some of the challenges and opportunities that rural hospitals face? Let's go in depth with Kevin Kincaid, CEO of the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. So Kevin, one hears oftentimes about rural healthcare in crisis. Can you sort of paint the big picture for us?
Yeah. So one way to describe where rural healthcare stands right now, it truly is in parts of our country and even in parts of Iowa, it's at a crisis level. It's caught the attention of our representatives both at the state level and the national level. Navigent, which is a healthcare consulting business firm, really created a splash here a few months ago when they did an analysis of Iowa hospitals in particular and identified 17 Iowa hospitals at high risk of closure if their financial positions don't improve. And certainly that caught the attention of our national representatives, and most specifically Senator Grassley in his role at Senate Finance. So there's been a concerted effort with the large Iowa healthcare systems, independent hospitals, and the Iowa Hospital Association to propose something different.
Well, it seems to me there are a couple of ways to go. Well, and my immediate reaction is we've got to save those hospitals. We've got to keep them up and going. But the other thing is to recognize demographic trends and what's happening and do a smart retreat. Are those the two options?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I mean, I wouldn't be any surprise. I'm a rural hospital CEO. I love working in rural hospitals. I live in a rural community and I love it. Hospitals are key to a vibrant community. They're a cornerstone of any communities that we're in. They're typically have many times are the largest employer, highest payroll, tend to have a younger employee makeup, and putting a lot of kids in the local schools, it's a big deal.
Good salaries.
And good salaries, certainly. And aside from that, I just have a fundamental belief that regardless of where you live, you should have access to great health care. Just because you live in a rural community, I don't think that you should be living in higher odds of dying of a heart attack or cancer because you don't have access to the services that our metropolitan friends have.
But for counties with only a few thousand people, say in the southern two tiers or western Iowa, how do you do that?
Well, that's where it gets difficult, and that's where you need some assistance at the state and national level. Frankly, that's just how it works. So in the 1990s, there was an awesome advancement in that idea. And basically, the idea is that how can a rural facility have first-class services and first-class staff doing less of the number of procedures that you would do in, say, downtown Des Moines. So the critical access program was brought about in the 1980s through the Balanced Budget Act. And basically, that was a payment mechanism that propped up a lot of rural hospitals and allowed us to kind of get into more of a cost-based reimbursement. So then it allowed us to have modern CT scanners, modern surgical equipment in the rural community, and there was some funding to help support that. What has changed is that demographic shift that we all know since the 1990s has not changed. Maybe you could argue it's accelerated. So there are less people in these rural areas. The costs of healthcare have been continually increasing, many times in double digits, for hospitals that are as it relates to our access to supplies and pharmaceuticals. And so it's more expensive to run a hospital than it ever has been with less people. And so that critical access program in certain settings that was great in the 1990s, things have changed and we're finding is inadequate in many settings across the country and even here in Iowa.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Kevin Kincaid, CEO of the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics.
Okay, so what's on the table?
So what we're looking at is creating a new hospital designation that is more in line with the current needs and how healthcare is delivered. I think everybody would say that healthcare has changed a tremendous amount since the 1990s. So the payment mechanisms ought to evolve as well. So if we work from the fundamental premise that everyone should have access to high quality services, so then what you need to sit down and have an honest conversation about is what services. So kind of as healthcare systems, Iowa Hospital Association, working with our local and state national representatives, we're beginning to kind of land that plane around emergency rooms, things like ambulance care, home health, access to clinical acute care type of coverage, like primary care coverage. That is a fundamental piece that you just cannot do without. So the only thing that's missing in that kind of listing is inpatient care. In a lot of hospitals across the state of Iowa, we have an average daily census of less than 5 per day. So it's very difficult to operate an entire inpatient wing and operation with that few of patients. So this one of the proposals that is on the table to kind of discuss and to try to figure out is that if a smaller rural hospital locally made the decision to discontinue inpatient care, how they could be paid even more than they are now for the core services, emergency room, ambulance services, home health, those sorts of things, and clinic care, so that they can remain viable in their communities. Because right now, for the first time in history, since we've been keeping track of this, the average Iowa operating margin for hospitals is negative. So a lot of hospitals are operating in serious operational deficits, losing cash, trying to keep up with the changing times under the rules of how we get paid today. And we believe there needs to be a change, not for all Iowa hospitals, but for some of the most vulnerable.
Well, and that might even improve services in a particular county. If you don't have to pay for hospital beds, or some nights there might only be 2 or 3 people in them, you could improve the ambulance services so you could help. And now where a lot of them are dealing with volunteers, you know, you could help and improve it, and then you can get them to a hospital quicker. It just might not be a hospital closer, but you'd have better care and have better recovery. I mean, you've got, 8 minutes for the heart attack? Yeah. If you have a better ambulance service, that means more than having a hospital bed in the county seat.
Right. So everyone, I believe, you know, understands that there is no such thing as unlimited resources. So you have to make tough decisions. And so under these policy proposals that we've been bringing forward, nothing gets forced on local communities, counties. That's up to those local facilities and their boards to make the right decisions for the area or for the folks that they serve. What we're looking at is to bring them another option. Because clearly the mechanisms that we're operating under right now is not working for close to over half the hospitals in the state of Iowa. So it's important that there be another option for someone to explore, model, see if that makes sense for their local community that they serve. We believe that some of the larger organizations, like the 2 hospitals that happen to be in Marion County, we have a role to play in this. While we would probably not take part in that designation change because of our size and scope, we also believe that it's not fair for somebody in some rural county that their only choice is to send their grandparents to some large metropolitan place that they're totally unfamiliar with, and it could be great distances away. We don't think that preserves the family unit, which is part of the healing process. So we're kind of looking at this as the uptake of hospitals that may discontinue inpatient care, making sure that there is a regional facility relatively close that could accept most of their patients that would be appropriate to stay there, so that families don't have a long drive to be with their loved ones while they're getting better in an inpatient bed. So we believe that local decision making is the best, but they have to have an option that's different than what they have today. And so this is what we're exploring now and beginning to model with the Iowa Hospital Association, the American Hospital Association. The more that we look into it, the more we like what we're seeing.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Kevin Kincaid, CEO of the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics.
Well, based upon what's happening demographically in the southern two tiers of the state, that would impact mostly the Marion County hospitals, Knoxville Hospital and Clinics could be good for this community, for this hospital, but then also good for the southern two tiers of counties as well, because their service, they'd be deciding what services they want. And if Knoxville was on their list of where they prefer to go, if you're further south, you'd rather go to Knoxville than to Des Moines.
Right. Honestly, the more that we look into this, the more that we believe that it helps patients, it helps facilities of those that are upsizing, those that are downsizing, and it also helps the taxpayers. And how it could potentially help taxpayers is that it's expensive to operate an entire nursing wing, an inpatient wing, for two patients. And then if those patients went a few miles away to a place like Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, our incremental costs only go up a little bit to absorb those couple of patients. So we think it's a good option all the way around. It won't be something that every hospital would take advantage of in every community, because every community is different. But certainly having only the critical access program available for the 80-some critical access hospitals in the state of Iowa is not sustainable. We do need something different.
Okay, so what does it mean? What are you thinking about? Let's say we go this direction. What does it mean for the facility here, the staff, the building? What's it mean? What's the future look like?
Well, I don't know that it would change a lot for Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, other than we would view ourselves as the recipient of patients that may be coming from more rural areas that would come into our facility. So what that allows us to do is we would see, based on our modeling, we've seen, we believe that roughly we would see average daily census of acute care admissions go up 4 to 5 patients a day. So in our capacity, that would be not an issue. We could do that and do that very well. We've had enough inpatient activity over the years to make major investments in our inpatient care, because we've had enough activity. So we have hospitalists that specialize in inpatient care, and that's what they do for the entire week that they're on. They're not being pulled other directions. We have virtual hospitalists with access to board certified internal medicine docs 24/7. We have a lot of equipment and staff that we've made, and new rooms we've made investments in. So we're clearly prepared and capable to accept more patients. And as I said before, it doesn't add a lot of cost to the taxpayer, but locally at our own organization, that additional activity helps fund those things that we have made these investments in and we would continue in anyway.
So no plans for expansions, or are there? You've got to be thinking toward the future.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we have secured our engineering firm, architect, and general contractor looking at a major expansion project that we'll be really looking forward to talking a little bit more about in detail soon. But basically, where we've seen tremendous amounts of growth, is our visiting specialists that come in. We just finished up employee forums, and I was just thrilled to be able to tell them about all the employees, about the awesome visiting specialists that we have come, and most of those are surgeons. These are folks that are in specialties that are highly sought after. There's really not enough of them to meet the demand. So these are specialists that, frankly, do not have to come to the Knoxville Hospital. They don't have to. They can be plenty busy if they want in Des Moines. They come to the Knoxville Hospital because they like to, because we take good care of them. We're friendly. We have things set up for them nicely. We do a great job for them in the operating room. And so it's just been a really fun time to watch our visiting specialists grow in just numbers of folks that are coming in. We just added a new vascular surgeon that everybody would love to have. We've just added a new pulmonologist. We are bringing in pain medicine specialist. We have a new plastics and reconstruction surgeon on the way. And it's just continually growing and growing. So our current OR and visiting specialist space is no longer adequate. So that's going to be a really fun project to start talking about, is that we need to expand and essentially look at a potential new surgery center here at the medical center and a new visiting specialist building. Right now we have visiting specialists kind of scattered throughout the building, finding available space. We want to put them in one area that's new and nice. We also need to do a pharmacy expansion project. And I've talked to a lot of service groups about, we have an interest in doing something in our emergency room to improve the number of private treatment spaces we have. And in those private treatment spaces, we want to build those specifically in mind for taking care of the needs of folks with a mental health condition. We all know that it is very difficult to place somebody with a mental health condition. And so they end up spending hours and sometimes days and a few times weeks with us. And when you're in space that's not designed for your needs, it's not helpful and can be not safe as well. So we really want to build these spaces with those folks in mind so we can take the best care of them that we can.
So based upon what you just said, Knoxville Hospital and Clinics isn't one of those hospitals on the list that Navigen says might close.
Thanks for asking that question. The big thing for us is to be able to tell the success story of Knoxville Hospital and Clinics around, we are bucking every state and national trend as it relates to the economics of our medical center and how we're performing. So we are not one of those hospitals that Navigen has identified. And as a matter of fact, we lead a lot of our network financial metrics, a lot of the quality metrics. So we're really proud about the performance we've been able to perform in. And over the last several years. So we've been very blessed to have healthy, positive bottom lines, and we're looking forward to continuing that trend.
Thanks to Kevin Kincaid for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.